Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Glenn Moberg, you are listening to a live recording by acoustic fingerstyle virtuoso guitarist Sean Hopper, who will be appearing tonight, Thursday night, in a Wisconsin Public Radio show at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Sean has been in central Wisconsin for much of the week. He's hosting workshops and master classes at Wausau area high schools and at the Wausau Conservatory of Music. And he is here right now in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio, and for the next hour, he will be talking about his love of the guitar, his passion for pushing the boundaries of the instrument, and his philosophy of music. And he'll perform for you live, but first, let's listen to Sean Hopper's version of Bohemian Rhapsody, played in one take on one guitar. And Sean Hopper appears tonight, Thursday night, at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Tickets are available at grandtheater.org. That's grandtheater.org. Or you can call 715-842-0988. That's 842-0988. Or you can stop by the box office today. They're on 4th Street in downtown Wausau. And let me give you another phone number. If you'd like to talk to Sean Hopper on Route 51 this morning, just give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. If people go to the Grand Theater tonight, Sean, what can they expect?
Just a lot of crazy guitar playing mixed with some melodic stuff. I like to have a good time with folks. I love to play the guitar. I'm drawn to the instrument. At the same time, I know that music and melody exist to invoke emotion. So I just like to pack a place full and just have a good time.
Well, let's hope we do that. So you took this 1970s rock anthem, Bohemian Rhapsody, and you turned it into a classical guitar piece. Tell us about that.
Well, I got inspired by a guitar player named Edgar Cruz out of Oklahoma when it came to these in-depth arrangements. And I saw him one day doing that song, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I wanted to get a hold of it, and he was playing it very classical, like very much in a way to sit back and appreciate it. And I wanted to amp it up. I wanted to play it at a show, and when I would play it, I would see people like wanting to sing. Like they'd be sitting in the back going,
Galileo.
And I was like, they really want to sing, and I should let them. I know it's an intricate guitar piece, but you got that emotions want to come out. So I was one night I just said, hey, if you guys want to sing, go ahead. And when I said that, everybody was like, mama, they went crazy. from that point on, it's just been encouragement.
Well, Queen's guitar player Brian May was a pretty good rock and roll guitar player. In fact, some of his stuff sounded almost like a Dixieland band, you know, when he was doing some of these arrangements and doing the overdubbing and putting in different parts.
That excellent tone too. He wanted like great guitar tone. So he one of those guitar players that when he played, kind of like B.B. King, Stevie Ray Vaughan, you knew it was him. You didn't have to see him. You heard the tone, and you could go, that's Brian May.
So this your first time in Wausau?
First time. First time in Wisconsin.
Really? Mm-hmm. What do you think of it?
Oh, it's great. It's beautiful. I keep commenting on these beautiful blend of auburn colors that you guys have all over the place.
Well, we were having an unusually warm fall, which is nice.
Is it usually colder right now?
I have seen snow on the ground this early.
Wow. And I talked to my friends yesterday in Florida, back in Florida and Georgia, and they're like, oh, man, it was brutal today. It was like 95 degrees. I'm like, really? It's just different parts of the country.
You've been to several of our high schools in the area. How have the kids been reacting to you?
Oh, they're great. Everybody's been real receptive. They're fun. They seem to really love the Mario Brothers. I play video game music on my guitar. All right.
Do that for me right now.
All right. We'll play just a little bit of that real quick. Let me see here. All right. Yeah, I think we can hear all that. Here we go. So level one sounds like this. Super Mario 1982. Here we go. Level two sounds like this. Coins. Mushrooms. And then the tunnel. You save the princess. So, yeah, I've been – I play –
Well, this is about as much fun as I've had on the radio. You're a really unique guitar player, I think. Your finger style, which allows you to do a lot of things that flat pickers can't do, and you've got a lot of harmonics that you use in your playing, and you've got a style that blends all kinds of influences. Andre Segovia, the great classical guitar player – Chet Atkins, a country gentleman. You've got the blues and jazz of George Benson, the folk stylings of Leo Kottke, and a whole bunch of others, some of whom aren't that familiar with the public at large, and genres that include alternative, Celtic, pop, and New Age. How did you develop all of that?
Basically, because I get bored really easily. I grew up in South Georgia, and I would hear alternative music. I would hear country music. I would just get exposed to different kinds of music, and I would get neurotic. I would go, I want to play some of that, and I want to play some of that. And I would get pulled in all these directions, and then I tried to be a quote-unquote master at each style at one point. I'm going to be just a classical guitar player. I'm going to be just a Chet Atkins player, and it never worked. And then when I found myself playing one night at a restaurant, and I was playing all classical music, I noticed that people were falling asleep. They were kind of getting bored with it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe I need to start adding some of the Chet Atkins back in, some of the Celtic stuff. I need to start adding some percussive stuff. And when I started doing that, I noticed that my shows became more interesting. And every song, people started having to guess what was going to come next. Like, is he going to play a pretty melodic piece, or is he going to play like some crazy finger tapping, you know, percussive thing? And I liked that because it kept them guessing. It kept me guessing. It kept us all excited, as opposed to, okay, I just played a classical piece. What's going to be next? Probably the classical piece.
Well, you grew up in rural Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. Family of welders and steel workers. Why aren't you playing Lynyrd Skynyrd?
That's a good question. Because that is the way you survive in South Georgia. You join a Skynyrd tribute band. As a matter of fact, I have a joke where you don't qualify for certain insurance if you go to a salesman and you're like, I need to get insurance and I'm in a band, the salesman will ask you, well, let's go over your resume. Do you play Lynyrd Skynyrd in your set? And if you say no, I'm sorry, sir, you don't qualify. We're going to have to turn you down. So yeah, it is pretty prominent.
Well, how do you get turned on to Chet Atkins and fingerstyle and guitar?
I got lucky one night. I walked into a place in Valdosta, Georgia, just south of my town of Adel, and there was a guitar player named Sam Pacetti. And I just walked in by chance, and this guy started playing, and I'd never heard a guitar played like that. And I thought there were five people playing, and everybody in the place, nobody was really listening.
He was kind of a mentor to you, wasn't he?
Fantastic. To this day, I still call him the great unknown because if the world ever found out about him, he would dominate the guitar world. And I say that with complete confidence. He's fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, that's what changed my life when I saw this guy. And the Celtic stuff came along then, the Chet stuff, and understanding the difficulty of how hard it is to play some of this Chet stuff.
Absolutely. And he's a great guitar player. Mm-hmm. He's certainly got a devoted following in Nashville, but he never caught on a lot with young people during the rock revolution in the 60s and 70s. They were idolizing his friend Les Paul, but not Chet Atkins.
Well, the younger audience tends to like, more aggression, like distorted guitars, and that makes sense. And eventually, though, you get interested in some more mellow stuff, some more tasteful stuff. But
can you play some Chet Atkins for us the folks listening know what we're talking about?
Yeah. Chet developed a style where he used his thumb to create a beat so people would have something to tap their foot to like this. And I know right now that doesn't sound like much, but with this one guitar, he would keep that going, and then he would bring in other parts while keeping the bass going. Here we go.
Just joined us. We're sitting here with Sean Hopper. He's playing guitar for you and talking about his musical influences, and he'll be appearing in a Wisconsin Public Radio show tonight at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Sean, part of your style, the way you use the guitar, you use it as a drum, right? Mm-hmm. You hammer out sounds by tapping your fingers on the instrument to replicate snare drums, tom-toms, wood blocks, bass drums.
That influence came from a few different guitar players. Michael Hedges being the first. Then there's Don Ross, Andy McKee, and Michael Chapdelaine. These guys started viewing the instrument a little differently, and they got their influence from Hedges also. Hedges looked at the guitar like a glorified drum with strings on it, and I thought that was really interesting because it broke the quote-unquote rules that, no, you have to play this way. You have to play a certain proper way. Well, no, there's no way you have to play. Like, what do you tell a guy that has no arms that wants to play the guitar with his feet? Well, I guess you just don't get to. No, he goes and figures out a way. So you find a way that you want to play, and Hedges viewed the instrument as this entity, this tree, this piece of a tree with strings on it to create vibrations, and he just embraced all of it.
Michael Hedges is a guy most people have never heard of.
Oh, and they should know. They should know. His music, he was modern-day Bach. 1981, he came out with an album called Breakfast in the Field, and I suggest everybody listening to go on iTunes and look up Breakfast in the Field by Michael Hedges, and just close your eyes and listen to that music. It's one guitar, and it's so moving. the melodies are just so fascinating.
Can you give us an idea of what something by him would sound like?
I'd have to retune real quick, but yeah, I could just improvise something. Let me see here.
What tuning did he play in?
He played in several, but one a dominant tuning that he often went to was called Dadgad. And a lot of people use it now.
That's D-A-D-G-A-B, yeah. And those are the notes that you tune the specific strings of the guitar to.
Yep, D-A-D-G-A-D, and it's basically the chord would be a D suspended 4, and it allows you to get big open sounds without – you can just strum it open, and it sounds beautiful, kind of like this. See, right now I'm not holding a chord at all. I'm just strumming. And that is a chord. So what Hedges would do is he would kind of start tapping, like get a drone going like this. And then bring in chords like this. And he would get a beat going or something like that. He would... He would just start to create these world sounds.
And I can see what you're doing, but for our audience who can't, those percussive noises, that's Sean tapping on his guitar while he's playing chords.
Well, another brief example that's really cool that Andy McKee kind of pioneered the style of Michael Hedges, and he wrote this tune called Drifting. I'll play just a little bit of it for you guys, and you can kind of hear this is one instrument doing – all of these parts you're about to hear. Here we go. Let me see if I can pull this off for you.
That is phenomenal.
Thank you. Well, Andy McKee came up with that, and first time I saw it, I was blown away. And Michael Hedges had already passed, and he would have been proud.
And Sean had both hands on the neck of the guitar. He was hammering alternately with the left and right hand and then hammering out the percussion at the same mm-hmm. time on the body of the guitar. You got a new CD out?
Yep. I've got an album called The Wood and the Wire, and I will have several copies of it with me tonight. So if anybody would like to come to the show, I have a thing that I do with CDs. I have never charged a specific price for an album. I always take donations. I like to play for my audience first, and I leave it up to them what they'd like to give me.
The Wood and the Wire. Let's hear a piece off of it called War Paint.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome. Thank you.
Sean Hopper that almost defies categorization?
Just out there music, man. Just getting ideas in your head and allowing them to come out. Don't suppress them.
You wrote most of the material on the new CD? Yep.
Most of the songs are mine, with the exception of a Bach piece and a John Mayer song called Neon. Yeah.
You know, there's a Native American feel to this. The Indian tribes are very big in Wisconsin. If you haven't learned that yet, there's great stretches of northern Wisconsin that's ceded territory for the Ojibwe tribes. Mm-hmm. And I have heard things that sound like that from them.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of what I had in mind when we were writing it. My buddy and I, Matt Glisson, were talking about the Timucua tribe down in around the northern Florida area, and we just got inspired and we started messing with this arrangement, and this is what came out.
Sean, are you back in standard tuning?
Yeah, I am.
You demonstrated something that I think would be interesting for our audience, of how, as a fingerstyle guitar player, you're able to actually put together all of the different pieces of a band. You did something with a Stevie Wonder song, starting with the bass riff. Could you do that for us here?
Absolutely. Stevie Wonder, yet another style that I like to jump into, Motown and 1970s funk music. I like to mess with his tunes, and I got inspiration from a guy named Adam Rafferty, jumping into this style. And basically what you can do is, with the thumb, you can do that same Chet Atkins thing, but you'll walk a bass line this time. Instead of doing like a boom chick like this, you're going to walk it like this. Like it's taking you somewhere. And we're going to keep that going. And in just a second, I'm going to bring in the horn section that Stevie has, but I'm going to keep the bass going simultaneously. Here we go. One, two, three. There's our horns. Okay, here comes the backbeat. And here comes the fourth part, the melody.
Who will be appearing at the Grand Theater tonight in a Wisconsin Public Radio show. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Sean, I'm going to play a short clip that I recorded Tuesday night at your workshop at the Wausau Conservatory, in which you were showing the folks in the audience how you use harmonics on the guitar, and not like most people do, just hitting the open string at the 12th fret, but actually using harmonics in order to play whole chords in different positions.
Sure.
Here's a lesson from Sean Hopper.
Basically, Lenny Bro took the harmonic. So you can do 5, 7, and 12 open. And he was like, wait, if I do those open, what happens if I hold a note and just go 12 frets above the note I'm holding? So, for example, 12th fret. Getting a harmonic, and he was like, wait, I can play a chord, and then outline the chord with harmonics. So I got an E chord. Just as simple as that, you get like a harp sound because you're an octave up. Then you could add another finger in there that's not a harmonic, but gives the illusion that it's like a harp when you go like this. Hit notes within the chord, and you can do it with any chord you want. You can do it with minor chords, they sound really spooky. Major chords, they sound beautiful. And they're all over the place. They just, everywhere you hold a chord, you can find, you know, five or six harmonics with on that string. It's pretty cool.
Bells coming out of that guitar, Sean Hopper.
That's the idea.
We're going to play one more cut off of the CD, and this one's called Mountain Melody. They're the harmonics.
Mm-hmm.
About this piece,
I was on tour in Oklahoma with a country band, and the guitar player in the country band, his name is Candler Tomlinson, and he's just a really incredible talent. After these little casino gigs, we would play. We'd go back to the hotel, and we would hang out. And I would play some of the stuff that I do, and he would be fascinated, and it inspired him to start writing music. And I put the guitar in a weird tuning, and he came up with this melody.
Like, that's why it's called CT's Mountain Melody.
CT's Mountain Melody. He came up with this melody right in front of me, and I told him, I said, man, if you don't mind, I'd like to take that idea, that melody, and put a, you know, some arrangement to it and record it. And he didn't think I would. You know, he was kind of a jaded guitar player. He'd been doing it so long, he didn't think anybody would do that. And I did. I recorded it, and I called it CT's Mountain Melody. I gave him credit for it, and I sent him a copy of the album, and he couldn't believe it. He's like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And, well, it's like it was your idea. And, you know, stuff like that happens all the time with so many people, and the ideas just get thrown by the wayside. And people shouldn't do that.
Sean Hopper, he'll be performing at the Grand Theater in Wausau tonight. Tickets at 715-842-0988 or at grandtheater.org. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to take a short break, and then we will come back, and I will sit in with Sean for a couple of songs, and we'll see what it sounds like.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Wollersheim Winery and Rockweiler Insulation. You too can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, with a focus on renewable energy system design and installation, including solar, wood, and deep energy retrofits to existing buildings. NorthwindRE.com.
Thank you. Great Louis Armstrong standard.
Let's do it.
What a wonderful world,
sure.
In the key of F. John Hopper, I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We'll be back with more right after this.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Peninsula Players, Ganchert Nursery, and Marshfield Clinic, proud supporters of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, where programs for all ages amplify birds and art themes, now through November 29th, with opportunities to participate in workshops by visiting artists. LYWAM.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to acoustic guitar virtuoso Sean Hopper playing his version of the American pop standard Over the Rainbow. This version recorded live at the Wausau Conservatory of Music during a workshop on Tuesday night. And if you just joined us, Sean Hopper will be performing tonight at the Grand Theater in Wausau, a Wisconsin public radio show. Sean Hopper, you can't find a lot of people today who are writing songs like that, combining sophisticated chords, beautiful melody line, well-thought-out poetic lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Have we lost something in our culture?
Just oversaturation of data via internet. Basically, people are desensitized because there's so much information coming at the mind constantly, because you have a computer in your pocket all the time. And why sit and focus on one thing when you can be focusing on several thousand things all at it causes extreme distraction. And
right.
Like I said, because if you look at like the average musician, like let's just go to the 80s alone, the average guitar player was an incredible shred metal guitar player. Even in bands that weren't even close to quote unquote succeeding, like they were all incredible because why? They sat and worked. They sat and practiced, just like we work every day at whatever it is our job of choice. We have to develop like muscle memory and skill. And that's where those things develop. And you go back even further, 50s and 60s, like every group could sing. Every group was a phenomenal vocal group.
Right, right.
With one microphone. They all need a mic. They could stand on stage and just be like, la. And it was gorgeous because they sat and honed in on their arrangements because they didn't have other distractions. And go even farther back, go to Bach, where there wasn't even electricity. Here's a man, 6 a.m. in a church, writing his music with feather and ink, you know, mm-hmm. one note at a time. And that's just incredible, unfathomable amount of dedication now. No one would ever, I'll sit down and write a song real quick. Got it. Got a song. And then Bach's
Hank Williams used to do that. You know, he said if it took more than 30 minutes to write a song, it wasn't worth writing.
as things progressed and changed in the eras, yeah. But there's just no avoiding the melody of Bach. It's just like once you hear it, it'll leave you catatonic.
It underlies everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you hear it in so much modern music. You hear classical music all over the place. It's just covered up with rock guitar chords. Or
can we hear a straight up classical piece from you?
Yeah, I'll play. Let's see here. I'll do a little bit of Beethoven, and I often I like to make medleys with classical music. I just like to jump from Spanish to flamenco or melodic. So here we go, Beethoven, Fur Elise on the guitar. Thank you.
Sean Hopper performing live in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. Sean, of course, performing tonight at the Grand Theater. Let's listen to one more track off of the new album, The Wood and the Wire. This is one that you mentioned before. It's a piece called Neon.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about this piece?
Well, I've been a fan of John Mayer for a long time, and when I first heard Room for Squares was his first album, it came out like I think in 2000 or 2001, and there was a track on there called Neon, and it was just captivating, like the riffs and stuff that he was doing. And I found out he tuned his guitar, his low E string, down to C, so he had this real dominant bass note in there, and
drop D tuning, you tune it down to D, so he's going full step.
He's keeping the rest of the guitar in standard, and he's dropping the low E string down all the way down to C. And he's got these cool riffs and chord voicings in there, and I just decided to put it in like a swing feel and work out the melody with the chords. Yeah, it's a cool tune.
Who else are you listening to these days? Who do you like?
It varies. It all depends on mood. Depends on what I'm doing. Like if I'm exercising, I study fitness and nutrition, and I train a lot. If I'm working out, it's usually Seven Dust and Metallica. Metallica is my favorite rock band of all time. If I'm meditating, it's usually binaural beat frequencies or feng shui, Asian melodies. If I'm cooking food, I don't know, it could be like jazz, classical music, Irish music, or comedy.
Do you listen to any world music artists, African, Jamaican, South American?
Yeah, whatever happens to come across my plate, I will give it a listen and pull inspiration from it. There's just so much out there. Somebody's got to introduce you to it.
You know, our radio stations, by and large, have very restrictive music formats that keep many artists from being heard and developing the kind of following that they would need to sell CDs and sell out concerts. I'm glad that we're able to do a little bit to change that at Wisconsin Public Radio, but the culture itself, it's really hard to break into music.
No, it's great that you guys – it is really fantastic that you guys do that because the day and age of like, you know, like Rush walking in – you know, back in the 70s, walking into a place and go up to the DJ, hey, here's our record. What do you think? The DJ would say, well, I'll give it a spin. If I like it, your fate rested in whether or not the DJ liked you. Nowadays, DJs have they don't even really exist. They're just programming. It's just all electronic. So the days of taking a record into a building and say, hey, will you play our album? And it's long gone. Yeah.
We're about out of time, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. What's your advice for young, aspiring musicians today?
Go after what you want to go after. Don't apologize for it. A lot of suppression will come your way, a lot of naysayers, and just ignore them. Just go at it. Like I said, find the thing that you love to do and whatever strikes you, and just go at it with 110%. And you only live once, so it's not a rehearsal. So get started.
We want to thank today's guest, Sean Hopper, who will be appearing tonight at the Grand Theater in Wausau. Tickets are available at grandtheater.org. or by calling 715-842-0988, or you can simply stop by the Grand Theater box office on 4th Street in downtown Wausau. It is a Wisconsin Public Radio show. Sean Hopper's latest CD is titled The Wood and the Wire on Shaped Note Records. You can find out more about Sean and his music at seanhopper.com. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Dean Kallenbach, and our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Lori Frazier. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week on Route 51, we look at one man's efforts to stop an oil pipeline as we talk to a Wausau resident who is being sued by Enbridge Energy because of his refusal to let the pipeline cross his land. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed some of this show, you can hear it. It's an entirety. Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau, or download it at WPR.org/Route 51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.